Hello, welcome back to the Mindful World Summit. I'm Dr. Stacy, and I'm so thrilled to be here today with Alejandra Costello. She is the decluttering queen. I know just even hearing that title, some of you are so excited. She was named by that by Good Morning America. She's an organizing coach. She's been featured on HGTV and the New York Times, and she helps people declutter and get organized so they can focus on what matters more. She believes that clutter can get in the way of life, and she's seen it trigger painful emotions and actually be damaging to relationships. But with the right tools and strategies, which she's going to share with us today, she has faith, and we can all grab onto that faith that it is possible to get organized. Welcome, Alejandra, to the summit.
Thank you so much for having me. It's lovely to be here.
We are so excited. I'm really excited. I love, you know, trying to keep things decluttered and organized. This is my happy place, but I'm not always great at it. I have certain closets. My closet is horrible. The rest is kind of okay. But, you know, I'm curious to know, you know, just in terms of you, like, how did you get into doing this work?
So it's started as a child, as a way to deal with my anxiety as a teenager. I would come home from school and I would organize my bedroom and I would rearrange when things got really bad. And it was just a way that brought me to the moment where my problems just slipped away and I was just in my zone and everything was great. And it had great benefits because my backpack was always organized. My room was clean and organized. I could find what I was looking for. And it continued through college as a way to just bring me calm and bring me to the moment. And then I realized when I got my first job after college, I realized that this is a skill that a lot of people need. I thought it came natural to most people, but little do I know that it doesn't. And so I started teaching people what came natural to me, and it's kind of evolved from there. And it's rewarding work that I can do something that comes natural to me and just watch people make a transformation from messy ways to these healthy habits of getting organized.
Yeah. So you were there through that transformation.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, when something comes natural to you, it's as you're saying, it kind of feels like not everyone does this. And then when you meet people where they're at, the people that come to you, what do you see going on within them and their homes?
I see one of the things is accumulating possessions. So having a lot of things and not having a home for everything. So two things that we can do is to declutter and let go, because the more stuff we own, the more stuff we have to maintain and keep up with, which means less time to be present with our children or less time to focus on our higher goals. Mm-hmm. And when we begin decluttering, one of the things, it can be easy to unconsciously focus on the loss of something. So, you know, you have these red shoes in the closet and, you know, they're taking up space, they're causing a problem because you can't access your other shoes, but you don't want to get rid of them because you paid a lot of money and you may need them someday. So when you find yourself focused on the loss, one thing you have to do is stop and shift your mindset to focus on what you're going to gain. So what are you going to gain by getting rid of those red shoes? And one of the things is you gain more space in your closet. You gain an easier time getting ready in the morning because you can find your other shoes more easily. You gain a sense of contribution by donating something to others. So if you find yourself focused on the loss, shift and focus on what you're going to gain.
Okay. So the focus of the attention, like, is, it seems like the default is I can't get rid of it. I don't want to get rid of it.
Right.
And it strikes me that as humans, we're attachment creatures. Like, we're born with this innate capacity and need to attach for survival, and that maybe we can get attached to the thing as opposed to the person or the experience or whatever it is. We can attach to a lot of things.
Right. Absolutely. And so one thing you can ask yourself is, what am I getting out of keeping this mug? So this mug in my kitchen, what do I, how does this serve me? What need is this item meeting? And so when you can identify what that is, so in the case of the red shoes, when I wear these shoes, I feel confident, I feel proud, I feel significant. Once you identify what that is, then you can say, okay, well, how else can I get that same feeling without the item? So maybe it's another pair of shoes in your closet, or it's a blazer in your closet that gives you that same feeling. And so then if you compare the two, okay, well, which one gives me more of the feeling? And so then you'd keep that one as opposed to keeping both of them. So at the same time, you're setting limits.
Okay. Okay. But it's like tough decisions. Like what if you love the shoes and you love them? And it's just like, why do I have to choose?
Yeah. Right. Well, it's important to choose if it's causing a problem. So if you have two things and they're not causing a problem, there's no problem. But if the shoes are getting in the way, you're tripping over them as you're walking into your closet, then there's an issue. And then setting a limit is the way to go.
Okay. Okay. So the way we think about it is like not just thinking about letting go or having to get rid of, but what are we gaining by having it? What are we gaining by it not being around? Correct?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. And one thing someone can do as they're beginning to declutter is first focus on what you're going to keep. So if you're decluttering your shoes, first focus on your favorites and then go back to the ones that you didn't pick and say, okay, well, why didn't I pick these? These ones over here are safe. I'm going to hold on to them. And then go back and say, okay, you know what? These ones I didn't pick out because they're uncomfortable or whatever reason. And so may have an easier time letting go of those because those other ones are safe over here.
Yeah. As you're saying that, I'm thinking about the all the heels I have in my closet are so uncomfortable. I was like, I'll just wear them to dinner and I'll get dropped off with the cab and I don't want to get rid of them. Anyways, those are my issues. But right now they're in their spot. But yes, it's time to take a look and think about maybe getting different shoes that are a bit more comfortable than those.
Oh, good.
Anyhow, so there's the focus. And then you talk about like systems of organizing as well.
Yes.
By that.
Okay. So every single thing you own should have a place inside your home.
Okay.
And for parents, I mean, really for anyone, everything should have a place that's easy to access. So everything should be easy to put away and easy to put back. So when you're setting up your systems, you want to make it simple, effortless, and automatic to find things and to put them away, especially when you feel tired, you feel lazy, or when you feel you're in a reactive mode. That's when you know you have great systems in place, when things are so easy to put away when you don't feel like it. And I always encourage people to start with function first. So if you're just getting started with organizing, just set up systems that are functional. And then if the aesthetics really matter to you, save that for the last step. But right now, just focus on functional organizing systems.
Okay. Okay. So can you give it an example? These are like, I don't know, hooks for the kids' clothes, that they can do themselves kind of thing, and they get in a routine of that. Is that the kind of thing? Or
yeah. So in the closet, in a kid's closet, you want to have all of like the long sleeve shirts in one section, all the pants in another section, all the shoes together. So when they open up their closet to get ready in the morning and they're looking for a pair of pants, they have this one section or one area of the closet that they always go to find their jeans or to put their jeans away before bed.
Okay.
So everything has a home and it's really easy to access and easy to maintain. Because the easier it is, the more likely something is going to get done. If the coat closet has a bin of shoes in the corner and there's a lid to put your shoes in and there's stuff in front of the closet door, it's really difficult to put your shoes away and it builds resistance to someone actually putting their shoes away.
Right. Yes. And as you're talking about that, I'm getting like just an image of the conflict around, why are there all these shoes at the front door? I'm tripping over the shoes and there's like, you know, And yeah. The agitation, like it does impact like just the feeling of being at home. Like there's something literally blocking me from coming home. And I can't relax even until I get rid of like this clutter at the front door.
Okay. Huh. So yeah. So one thing is to set up some kind of system, a shoe rack, or get a bin or something to contain everything mm-hmm. so you don't feel that way when you're at home.
Yeah. But I also suggest, like, do you involve the kids with this process? Like in terms of, or is it enough to just say, okay, I know what height you are, what this is, but do you have to have the kids, I guess, depending on their age, kind of be part of the process of what the plan is going to be?
Yes, I think absolutely 100% involve the kids. Let them give their input on where something should go, what they like, what they, once you set up the system, let them pick out the color of the bin, or just the more you can involve them, the better. And mm-hmm. then in the end, it's showing them how to use it. Mm-hmm. So walking them through how to use it, talking, showing them, the more you can involve them, the better. And then, and then also, having three things that kids can do every day that's organizing related is important. And so three things that maybe they think is important, again, it kind of depends on their age, but, three things they feel is important to them. Or if the parents want to come up with a list of organizing related tasks, and then the child gets to pick three of those things, so they have a little bit of control mm-hmm. on what three they're going to do, mm-hmm. and then maybe just switch it every month to give them some variety, and then of course mm-hmm. track the progress. So have some kind of tracker where they can check off once they get the organizing task done.
Mm-hmm. So it's some kind of like checklist that they do in the morning, and they can do that. Everyone loves that check.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Or put a sticker or
Yeah. Okay. So is that part of what's required? Like when you talk about maintenance, because certainly we can start out, with the best of plans, and it might take a couple goes at something to know whether or not it's working.
Yeah.
But once it's, we have something working, like what do we need to pay attention to maintain?
Okay. So it's really a personal question. It's asking yourself, mm-hmm. what is important for me to get done every day? What mm-hmm. three things for a parent as well? What three things are important for me to get done? So when I go to sleep at night, I feel more organized and more mm-hmm. on top of things.
Okay.
So an example would be before going to bed, coming up with a to-do list for tomorrow on what tasks you're going to get done, what events are on the calendar, what appointments you have. So you wake up with more certainty on what the day looks like, and you also wake up with more clarity on what needs to get done. So that would be one of the three tasks that mm-hmm. someone would do if they feel like that is important for them.
Okay.
Another task would be spending 15 minutes before bed or first thing in the morning putting stuff away that's out of place. So by the time the weekend comes, the house doesn't feel as chaotic and it feels more peaceful. Mm-hmm. So identify what three things are important for you. And then again, I would recommend using a tracker to track your progress. And if you find that you miss a day or you miss a task, it's a reminder to be compassionate and forgive yourself for not getting it all done, because you probably did the best you can. And if you didn't get your tasks done, it just means you prioritized something different. And, mm-hmm. what was it? And was that thing that you prioritized more important than keeping up with the house? And if it was something popped up for the children that you had to take care of, yes, that's absolutely more important than taking care of the house. The house is critical, but it's not always going to be number one. It can't mm-hmm. always be number one. Mm-hmm. And so choosing to forgive yourself and just continue to do your best tomorrow is mm-hmm. really the best thing you can do. And mm-hmm. what you shouldn't do is focus on what didn't get done and then continue to stay off track. That's a lot of times what happens.
Right. So we kind of feel helpless at that point and give up sometimes, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. So, being gentle with yourself as it takes some time for these things to stick, and they're not always going to be perfect, but we're better off overall. Like overall, things are better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And so you also talk about, I mean, this has all been about like how to focus our awareness, how to set things up so they're easy, and what systems we need to have in place to maintain it. What about, you also talk about strategy, right? And yeah. Bringing your best self to this. Tell me what you mean by that.
Okay, so the mood that you're in is going to affect the decisions that you make. So decluttering and organizing is all about making decisions. So if someone brings their most fearful part of them to the space or to the project that is focused on scarcity, lacking trust, complaining, and being critical of themselves, chances are they're going to make decisions based on fear. So a fearful decision is kind of like the red shoes that I talked about earlier, where you go to your closet and you have these red shoes and they're causing a problem, but you're holding on to them because you may need them someday and they cost a lot of money. So that is a decision that's based on fear. And when we make these decisions that are based on fear, it holds us back from letting go of anything and making progress towards accomplishing our goals.
Okay.
So on the other hand, when we go into our space and we bring our best, our highest, our most loving full self to the space that is giving, trusting, has faith, and is compassionate, we're going to make wiser decisions based on who we really are and our higher goals. So if we bring our best self to the space and we come across those red shoes, our best self knows that if we're not wearing these shoes and they're actually causing a problem in our life, it's best to share these shoes with one of the millions of people around the world that don't even own a single pair of shoes. And so we just have to remind ourselves to embrace the uncertainty of not having something we may need in the future and just trust that everything is going to be okay and anything we need will be given to us in some way, shape, or form in the future. It always does. It may not be the same pair of red shoes that comes back to us, but it could be even better.
I love that. You surprised me. I would never have thought about that as part of the strategy of like gearing up for something like this, and how it's interesting how our own energy, mood, vibration, some would say, colors this whole idea. And what is it we really need? I'm already full here, right? Like you're actually coming into the place feeling full and knowing that there's more.
Yeah.
And there can be tons more if we wanted to, that we don't need this thing to have us to feel fulfilled.
Exactly. Wow. Yeah. Okay. And then the question is, well, how can we tap into our higher self before we go into the closet and begin making those decisions? And so a question you can ask yourself is, well, what brings out my best self? When is that part of me active? And so, you know, who am I around? What am I doing? What am I looking at? What am I hearing? What am I feeling? What am I touching? What am I wearing? Asking yourself those questions, because the more you can create an environment where your best self is going to thrive as you're decluttering and organizing, the more successful you'll be in making conscious decisions that will allow you to accomplish all of your goals.
Okay. All right. So get some tunes on.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, bring back some happy memories, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Make a cup of tea, put on some good music, put on your favorite outfit as you're in your closet, and just have fun with it. A lot of my clients, they'll get on the phone together and they'll just pump each other up, and then they'll put each other on hold. They'll go do 30 minutes because they know they have that accountability that someone is like waiting on them, and just knowing someone else is doing it can be so motivating and get you in the right state to take action and get in there and do it.
Wonderful idea. That's fantastic. And then building some community and maybe of like letting go. I know of some people who do this thing where they take the stuff that they don't want and they have like a party where they kind of do an exchange, and whatever's not taken by someone else gets donated.
So fun.
Yeah.
So fun. Yeah. It is great when you involve other people.
Mm-hmm. And to see that hat that you really don't love anymore or have no use for, put a smile on someone else's face.
I know. It's so great.
I love those, the accountability, the buddy system, and like making this fun.
Yeah, it's awesome. So effective.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Thank you. And then you also talk about like breaking things down. Like, what are you talking about there with this strategy?
Okay. So pick an area and break it down. So okay. It can feel overwhelming to think about getting started with organizing the closet, especially for parents who feel like they don't have enough time to start and finish a project in one sitting because of constant interruptions and distractions. Mm-hmm. And then it can drive a person to wait for the perfect time to begin, which may be like weeks, months, or sometimes even years down the road. So,
yeah. You want to have some tea?
Yeah, so it's so common. But, you know, a better approach is to get comfortable doing a project in small pockets of time. So I recommend taking your big project and breaking it down into small tasks that take no longer than 20 minutes to start and finish. So if you're organizing your closet, you would start by making a list of what these tasks are. So one of them may be, okay, today I'm just going to go into the closet and I'm just going to go to my jeans and pull out the ones that I can donate. That's my only goal for the closet today. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow I'm going to go in there for 20 minutes. I'm going to pull out anything that doesn't belong in the closet. Wrapping paper, mail, toys, anything else that's accumulated in there. The only task.
So, do you know my life? Oh my God. Oh, anyways, go ahead.
So make a list of the tasks, mm-hmm. and then you're going to go to your closet. You're going to set a timer. Timers work great. Set a timer for 20 minutes. You're going to pick one of the tasks. It doesn't matter which task you pick. It just matters really that you just get started. So just pick any task. If you want, pick an easy task. Pick a task, set the timer, get started, and your only goal is to just do your best and make the space better than it currently is while you do that task. That's all you have to do. And then okay. The next day, do another 20-minute task. The next day, just continue doing these 20-minute tasks. And that's mm-hmm. how you take a big project and you get it done, you know, one piece at a time, as opposed mm-hmm. to waiting for the perfect time to get started.
Right. And do you find in your experience that, I mean, often in life when we have that list of to do and it's just sitting on your brain, it seems in your mind that it's going to take forever to do, like that it seems so big. And then when you get to do it, it's like, that even didn't even take, like that was an hour and a half, or that was, you know what I mean? Do you find that people overestimate how much time it takes to do these things?
Yes. It's so common. Mm-hmm. One of the things someone can ask themselves is, what are you resist? Is there something you're resisting when you think about getting started with this task? Mm-hmm. Is there some kind of resistance? Are you avoiding mm-hmm. something? Is it too big that you need to break it down? Is there mm-hmm. something you need to do first to have an easier time continuing? Just really getting that clarity, I think, mm-hmm. would be helpful.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's an interesting thing that comes to your mind in terms of this idea of resistance. Are we resisting taking this action? But there's the flip side of that, which is surrender that you also talk about. What do you mean by that in this context?
Right. So, okay. So if we focus and then we have a strategy, the last thing is to take action. So mm-hmm. we know what we need to do and it's just a matter if we're willing to do it. So in the case of the closet example, we break down the closet into 20-minute tasks and then we go into the closet to get started. But as we walk in, we get triggered by a pile we see on the floor and everything else that needs to get done. And at that point, we may feel inclined to procrastinate. And so when we feel the urge to run the other way and avoid getting started, we have two options. The first option is to resist. So we walk into the closet and we allow ourselves to go into that reactive state and stay there, which is likely going to influence our choice of procrastinating. We start mm-hmm. to tell ourselves, well, I'll just do this another day when I feel less overwhelmed, more motivated. Mm-hmm. And while that does bring immediate comfort to you because you're doing something you rather do and not doing mm-hmm. what you need to do, it's an illusion of comfort that leads to more discomfort because mm-hmm. now, you know, we still have the the uncomfortable thoughts and emotions about the clutter, but now we're stacking this layer of guilt on top that we've procrastinated.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is when we continue to resist and put it off, eventually the pain of clutter just becomes so unbearable that we hit rock bottom, and then we have to get ourselves back on track and then, you know, be hopeful that this time it'll stick. And a lot of times it doesn't stick. But the second choice is to surrender. So it's walk into your closet, and maybe you do get triggered by the stuff you see on the floor and everything that needs to get done, but you catch yourself and you stop right there and you decide to just see the piles and accept them for what they are. They're just piles of clothes that you didn't fold because you prioritized your children or something else that was more important.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you bring your voice of compassion that reminds you how strong and how courageous you are, while reminding yourself that anything I do in this closet is only going to help me, and it's going to support me. It's going to lead me to accomplishing my goals. And when you consciously choose to surrender, you get closer to accomplishing your goals. And the way you do that is you set your timer for 20 minutes and you just get started. You lean into that resistance. And when the timer goes off, you know, at that point, you are going to feel amazing. You are going to feel more relieved. You are going to have a sense of control, and it's going to boost your self-esteem, give you more confidence that you can do this. And you're going to have an easier time getting started tomorrow because you got started today.
Yeah. So really, it is about, can we stay with it without judging or adding that extra layer, just seeing it for what it is, and not, you know, having any of that negativity that clouds and makes it a more onerous process than maybe it needs to be.
Right. Right. And we're in control of what the clutter means to us. You know, when we look at this pile of stuff on the floor, we can say, oh, I'm so messy. I don't know how to fold. I don't have my stuff together. You can look at it from that perspective. Or you can say, you know what? I'm a great parent. I didn't have, you know, at the end of the day, my child needed me. And so I stopped what I was doing and I showed up for him or her. And I didn't fold the clothes, but you know what? I was there for my child when they needed me.
Mm-hmm.
Different ways to look at it.
Yeah, I have a rich and fulfilling life. That has me living up there and not spending a lot of time on this, but I can envision a life where it's easy to come in and find what I need.
Yeah.
And I have even more time.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Awesome.
Right.
Okay. Well, this is so helpful. And you know, it strikes me that you really are kind of in the trenches when you're working one-on-one with people, or with families, in terms of seeing, you know, some of the distress around these issues and witnessing the transformation. I'm wondering if you could share a little bit about that, where people tend to start emotionally and in their relationship with things and how they're living. And when they make that switch and come over into the light, what is the kind of transformation you see, you witness?
Well, one of the transformations is people feel so much lighter. They feel they feel relieved. They just feel like they can focus on what they rather do, as opposed to just be stuck in the clutter and distracted and reacting to things. We have one of our members, mentioned that she cleaned out her office and her studio, and now her husband can go back and do what he loves to do, which is write music, which he couldn't do before because there was just clothes everywhere in front of the piano and he couldn't walk over there. So just by doing a little bit of decluttering and organizing, we're able to better focus on what we rather be doing.
We reclaim our space for living, it sounds like, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. So, you know what, this has been so helpful and so many great strategies and a shift in mindset that can really make the difference. And, you know, this whole idea of making it fun, involving some other people and cheering each other on. And it sounds like, do you, like in your, you know, on your platform, do you engage people or do you have challenges related to this? Or
we have, so on our weekly calls, we partner people up so we have a Q&A call and then we partner everyone up at the end of the call to be each other's accountability partner. So we'll pick something on our to-do list that we have been procrastinating or resisting, and that's the task that we'll tackle. And so they'll pick the task. They'll introduce themselves to their partner. Their partner will do the same thing. And then they will put each other on hold, go do the task. And then they come back and they talk about what they did. They talk about how they feel now that they got something done. And it's at the end of it, everyone did at least 30 minutes of getting something done that they didn't necessarily want to get done. And so many of our members keep in touch months later, and they just text each other and call each other and just be accountable to cleaning up and getting their home organized. It's a really beautiful thing.
What a wonderful idea. I love that. That's fantastic.
Yes.
Is this on your site? Is this on your website?
Yeah. It's on our site.
All right. So since we're mentioning it now, what's your website where people could access this amazing resource and partner up?
It's alejandra.tv, and then it's under training programs. You'll see that the Q&A calls.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I wanted to shift for a little bit because, again, you have, you know, this interesting perspective, and I'm really interested in your answers to a few kind of broader questions.
Okay.
So tell me, what is a major issue, as you see it, that if we solve would make the biggest difference in the world?
Okay. We tend to accumulate possessions for different reasons. We think that buying more is going to make us happier. We buy more to keep up with the Joneses. We buy more because it's the latest and the greatest. We buy more to overcompensate for not spending enough time with our children because things are on sale, or just so many different reasons we buy things. And if we would just be more mindful and aware of when we're going online or when we're going to the shopping mall, you know, asking yourself, is this something that I really need, or am I buying something for another reason? Just stopping and having that awareness can have an effect on how much clutter we bring and own in our home.
Yeah. And as I hear you talking about that, I also think even on a bigger scale of like clutter in the world, like just contributing to the mass of, like, when we think of our environment and, you know, all the things that we end up in the garbage, and we can clutter our homes and we can clutter the world outside of our homes with this incessant buying of stuff.
Right. And everything takes so many resources to make and to create. And then we bring that into our home. And then when we're done using it, or it's done, you know, we don't need it anymore, you know, where are we putting it? A lot of things end up in the landfill, or they end up, they end up in the landfill, or someone else, you know, if we donate it and then someone else buys it and then they don't use it, it sits inside their home. And so just having that awareness.
Yeah. Right. But the great question as to why, what is it we're buying and for what reason? Okay. And so what do you think is an emerging problem that no one is talking about, that we really need to address?
I think one of them is accumulating, but also letting go and detaching from our possessions is something that could have, you know, if we could have an easier time detaching from our possessions, it will have a impact on us, on our families, on our children. Yeah, so having an easier time detaching.
Right. Okay. So not literally getting consumed by the things and being, you know, so it's kind of all kind of related, isn't it, in terms of not equating the things with the things that we really want, the experiences of love and validation and feeling connected.
Right.
And fun adventure.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So, whatever need an item is meeting, finding a healthier way to meet that need without a physical item.
Well, you know, is there things that you're seeing right now? Maybe there's one thing that you see we're doing well, or just something that's happening that makes you feel hopeful about the future.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's a lot of awareness right now around minimalism, and it may not be for everyone. It may feel extreme for some people, but just having that awareness that the less stuff you own, the more focused you'll be, the less you have to maintain, just knowing that and realizing that and having that in the back of your head as you're getting started, I think is great that there's so much out there that talks about this stuff.
Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, I know there's been some documentaries and there's some books and things like that about really paring down in an extreme way. Is that what you mean by minimalism?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Right. So So some people just have like one mug or one plate or, you know, three pairs of shoes or something. And that may not be for everyone, but just recognizing, I wonder what would life be like if I only had five shoes as opposed to 20 shoes, and just getting curious about that lifestyle. And maybe you start by paring down one collection of items. You know what? I think I'll go minimal on my tank tops and just see how that feels. So you get rid of like 70% of your tank tops. You only have five, the ones that you definitely wear, and see how that feels. Mm-hmm. And if it feels right to you, then pick the next thing to pare down and then keep going, as opposed to thinking like, oh, I need to do my whole house at once.
Yeah. That can be a shock to the system.
Right.
So I'm gonna declutter, just get rid of everything. And then
right.
Okay. And so, Alejandro, this has been really great. You're so many concrete tips and really forcing us to think, I guess, a little more deeply about why we're doing what we're doing, why are we choosing this, why are we having a hard time letting go and getting at the real issue here. It's not the thing. You've got to make some changes and do a little bit of inner reflection.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, if there was one thing that you would like our viewers watching to action today, like right now, that you believe would make a big difference for themselves and their families, what would that be?
Great question. I would say to grab a bag, set a timer for 10 minutes, and just go around your house. It doesn't matter where you are, just run around your house and fill the bag with stuff that you know you can get rid of. So start with like the lowest hanging fruit and just put things in there that you're okay with getting rid of, and just start with one bag, because the less stuff you own, it's the less stuff you have to maintain, organize, clean, pack when you move. There's so many benefits to having less stuff. So I would just start with one bag and go from there.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Alejandra. If people want to learn more, if they want to join the groups and activities that you have going on in your website, can you mention it one more time for us?
Sure. It's alejandra.tv.
Alejandra.tv. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the summit. I can't wait to grab that bag and get started myself. I'll have to let you know how that goes. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Okay, take care.
Take care.